This is the last day of this January 2016 Rohatsu 7-day session. We'll take up a koan today. This is number 92 in the Blue Cliff record. And the title is The World Honored One Ascends the Seat. One day the World Honored One took his seat on the platform. Manjushri struck the table with the gavel and said, "Clearly understand the Dharma of the King of the Dharma. The Dharma of the King of Dharma is like this." The World Honored One descended from his seat. The World Honored One, of course, refers to the Buddha. This is how he's usually referred to in the sutras, the World Honored One, or the Tathagata. Manjushri is the Bodhisattva of wisdom. We used to, for many years, we had a figure of Manjushri that we would install on the altar here in the Chepamil Zendo for Sesshin. The significance of that was that just as Manjushri, that rendering of Manjushri showed him or her with wielding, brandishing the delusion-cutting sword of wisdom, so too there is this emphasis on cutting through in Sesshin. Cutting through, seeing through. But then, when we were looking hard at improving the altar, having a more permanent altar, I came to see that it just didn't work to have two figures. The mind is kind of split between the two. The Manjushri sort of detracted from the Buddha, and undoubtedly vice versa. So in the spirit of not two, we now have gone back to just the Buddha itself. This is the Rohatsu ceremony is the Rohatsu Sesshin is the Sesshin in honor of the Buddha's great enlightenment, and I fished one out of one of the koans. There are a few of them in the koan collections. A few of them with the Buddha as the main character, and this is one of them. I have to wonder whether this, event of described in this koan actually took place. There's something so Zen-like about this. The Buddha couldn't have been called a man of few words. His teachings, which were all recorded after first. Memorized and not recorded until 200 years later, scholars tell us. So for the first 200 years, it was all oral transmission. And yet, we have these hundreds and hundreds of volumes of teachings attributed to the Buddha. they say that it's more in the Indian style to be wordy like that. And that's where Zen brought something new to the Dharma, is the recognition of the limitation of words. The great Chinese Chan master Linji or Rinzai said, to speak of a thing misses the mark. And the Buddha in this koan seems to be echoing that statement. One day the world-honored one took his seat on the platform. There's another koan in which the master of the temple is kind of upbraided by the head monk for not having given a talk in a long time. And the master then the next day takes the high seat. And as I remember, I'm just remembering this now, as I remember, I also remained silent, and then afterward is questioned about that. But here he has his ally, Manjushri, who is supposed to have been, like the other bodhisattva, is supposed to have been a flesh and blood, real person at the time of the Buddha. Manjushri struck the table with the gavel and said, it's very significant, that striking the table with the gavel. He's saying that the Dharma of the King of the Dharma is like this, with the Buddha remaining sitting in silence. We could also say the Dharma is like this. It's all there. Arguably, there's more Dharma there than a 45-minute talk. This is the pain. One of the pains of being a teacher, is a Zen teacher, is facing the daunting prospect of communicating the Dharma in words, through words, when words can be so deceiving, is by their nature. Words have, each word has a certain definition, of course, and then one can get into a real briar patch of semantics and misinterpretations. In Zen, always the emphasis has been on the spirit of the words, the spirit behind the words. Not to get caught in the words. And this is what the whole koan curriculum is about, is learning to grasp what's behind the words. Not to take them literally. Well, there's no chance of that here, because we're told that the Buddha never uttered a word. In the Blue Cliff Record, there's another koan, Vimalakirti's Gate of Non-Duality. Since it's so similar in a sense to this one, I'll just read it. Vimalakirti was a great enlightened householder of, in ancient times. It has, says here, he asked Manjushri, there's Manjushri again, standing by with his wisdom. Vimalakirti asks him, what is the Bodhisattva's Dharma gate of non-duality? Manjushri answered, to my mind, in all dharmas there are no words, no preaching, no demonstration, and no recognition. It is beyond all questions and answers. That is entering the Dharma gate of non-duality. Then Manjushri turned the tables on Vimalakirti and asked him, each of us has had his say. Now tell us, good man, what is the Bodhisattva's entry into the Dharma gate of non-duality? And that Vimalakirti remained silent. And that statement by Manjushri, clearly understand the Dharma of the King of the Dharma. The Dharma of the King of the Dharma is like this. Arguably, the most important word is the last one. This. This. There's yet another koan in the Blue Cliff Record. The great Bodhisattva Fu lectures on the Diamond Sutra. The emperor, the great Emperor Wu of Liang, asked the great Bodhisattva Fu, it's Fudaishi, to expound the Diamond Sutra. Fu mounted the platform, struck the lectern with his staff, and descended from the platform. The emperor was dumbfounded. Master Chu said to him, does your majesty understand? The emperor replied, no, I do not understand. Master Chu said, the great Bodhisattva has expounded this sutra thoroughly. Here the the master himself does the striking. A later master commented on this Master Qi's comment, where he says the great Bodhisattva has expounded the sutra thoroughly. He said, "It was like a cup of fine wine polluted by rat shit." Something similar said by a master regarding Manjushri's comment in today's koan of the Buddha sitting. This is This koan, today's koan, The World Honor One Ascends the Seat, it's number 92 in the Blue Cliff Record, number 1 in the Book of Equanimity, Shoyoroku. And in that book, there are commentaries, and one of them by Wan Song is about Manjushri's statement about the King of the Dharma. Here's what he said. "Even Manjushri, the ancestral teacher of seven Buddhas of antiquity, saying, 'Clearly observe the king of the Dharma.' The Dharma of the king of Dharma is like this. Still needs to pull the nails out of his eyes and wrench the wedges out of the back of his brain before he will realize it." And then there's in the Shoyoroku, there's a verse by Zen master Tian Tong, goes like this on this koan, the World Honor One Ascends the Seat: "The unique breeze of reality, do you see? Continuously creation runs her loom and shuttle, weaving the ancient brocade, incorporating the forms of spring, but nothing can be done about Manjushri's leaking." The unique breeze of reality in this koan, do you see it? This Tian Wan Song says, commenting on Tian Tong's verse, the one with the unique breeze of reality, Wan Song says, "The unique breeze of reality, do you see it?" And then he says, "Is it the World Honored One's ascending the seat that is the unique breeze of reality? Is Tian Tong's reciting his verse the unique breeze of reality? Is my further inquiry the unique breeze of reality?" This way it's become three levels. What is the unique breeze of reality? "Indeed, you people each have a share, but you should investigate it thoroughly." Of reality. Can you hear it? There's a Joseph Joubert, a 19th century French moralist who might have been a Zen master, when he said, "Words, like eyeglasses, blur everything that they do not make more clear." So many people can hardly stand silence. We've had people come to introductory workshops and during the sitting bolt and run. Very sad. How many people, when a seven-day sesshin is let out, how many people can be silent, even for short periods of time? It seems that most have to fill up again with words, spilling, disgorging words. Another one I love is by Walter Kaufman, who said, "Words signify man's refusal to accept the world as it is." Maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I was asked by a member of our local county legislature to give the benediction. I had to get out the dictionary and look up what benediction meant after saying yes. It was a well-meaning attempt to give more diversity to these meetings. It was the opening session of the term of the Monroe County Legislature, and a friend of my wife's, who was Jewish, had been advocating for this benediction to be done by people of other religions other than whatever the Protestant, I suppose. And so she asked me, they said, okay, whatever. And, you know, you can't risk not showing diversity. And so she came to me, and first of all, I figured it'd probably be a waste of time, but then I came up with the idea of just being silent. They're expecting a sermon or some preaching, or yes, I'll talk about my religion with you. Yes. So instead, I gave them a heads up, because otherwise I thought they might be utterly dumbfounded, which I know wouldn't be the worst thing, but but that it would go right over their heads, and they might think I was having a stroke or something. So I... So I announced when the affable host or whoever, I don't know what it was, introduced me. I said, you know, I'm just think the one thing that unites us all is silence. So instead of giving any kind of address, I think the best benediction I could give was just for us to be silent for a minute. I have no idea whether anyone appreciated that. At the end of the minute, the smiling host said, "Well, thank you. That was quite an interesting benediction." At least I stopped short of smacking the lectern with a stick. Somewhere, Yasutani Roshi, I got this through Roshi Kaplow, he used to say that Sesshin has three components to it. It's one-third sitting, one-third doksan, and one-third teisho. And that never rang true for me as far as Westerners, Americans. I would say it's more like two-thirds sitting and a sixth each of doksan and teisho. Because in the sitting, it's all there. All the teaching, the Dharma, is just like this. What is missing from the silence? This is the absolutely miraculous thing about this method, this simple method of sitting, is that by just sitting in silence, it all comes to us. We are mining our innate wisdom just by allowing the mind to settle. It's all there. It's all here. Boundless riches. Bottomless. Bottomless. I've never found the bottom. This bounty of wisdom. To close with a short text that I see I haven't read from in about 5 years, but it will be familiar to some of you. This is from a book called The Man of Many Qualities, A Legacy of the I Ching. It's just a cornucopia of world wisdom from just about every country or culture. And it's organized around the 64 hexagrams of the I Ching. And in this particular one, the editor, I forget his name, he offers this one up. It's by Edgar Lee Masters, an American who lived from 1869 to 1950. I have known the silence of the stars and of the sea, and the silence of the city when it pauses, and the silence of a man and a maid, and the silence for which music alone finds the word. in the silence of the woods before the winds of spring begin. In the silence of the sick when their eyes roam about the room. And I ask for the depths of what use is language. A beast of the field moans a few times when death takes its young. And we are voiceless in the presence of realities we cannot speak. A curious boy asks an old soldier sitting in front of the grocery store, "How did you lose your leg?" And the soldier is struck with silence, or his mind flies away because he cannot concentrate it on Gettysburg. It comes back jocosely, and he says, "A bear bit it off." There is the silence of a great hatred, the silence of a great love. The silence of a deep peace of mind. And the silence of an embittered friendship. There is the silence of a spiritual crisis through which your soul, exquisitely tortured, comes with visions not to be uttered into a realm of higher life. There's the silence of those unjustly punished, and the silence of the dying whose hand suddenly grips yours. There's the silence of those who have failed, and the vast silence that covers broken nations and vanquished leaders. And there is the silence of age, too full of wisdom for the tongue to utter it in words intelligible to those who have not lived the great range of life. We'll step now and recite the four vows. Mm-hmm.